Father, we know that you're here tonight. We know that you are in this place. Our hearts are overjoyed in your presence. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. Father, we know the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. Father, so many things happen. So many awesome things happen in your presence. And we're so glad to be in your presence because we know the Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. The Lord our God, Father, you're a mighty God in our midst. And it's so good to be in your presence tonight. And so we thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for feeding your people tonight. We are your sheep. This is your pasture. And Father, we thank you for feeding us till we want no more. Father, thank you for the ministry of the word and the spirit tonight. Speak a word into the life of every person listening. Some are listening via live stream. Some are listening, will be listening via a CD or some other service. Some are watching some other way. But those here in this live service or those who are listening some other way, speak a word to every listening ear, Father God. We ask you, speak a word into every heart. Speak into every situation represented tonight. Speak into every circumstance people are going through tonight, Father. Speak a word, Father God, that crushes the thoughts of the enemy. And where the enemy thought that he'd gain some advantage on the people of God, Father, remind the people that he's already crushed beneath their feet. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We know that your word is alive. It's living. It's anointed. Your word is dripping with the anointing. Your word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight. He's the revealer of truth tonight. Father, he's the one giving personal applications from heart to heart. He's the one confirming the word. He's the one, Father, who brings conviction to the hearts of men and women. He's the one, Father, to confirm the word. Father, we thank you for the mighty, mighty, mighty Holy Ghost tonight. Have your way. Direct your word in accordance with your will and plan on tonight. You're up to something, Father God. You've got a purpose tonight. You've got a plan. Direct that word, Father God, to meet every need in the house. And Father, you know, we'll cooperate with you. We'll yield unto you. We'll do what you say. We'll flow with you. Thank you for unction and utterance tonight to flow in the direction that you want us to go. And then we'll be so careful just to give you all of the glory, just to give you all of the glory and honor for everything that's done in our midst tonight. And then, Father, thank you for blessing our pastors tonight, our senior pastors. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We just love them so much. We just love them so much. Thank you for giving pastors to us like them. Father God, just the epitome of excellence. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, Father. And we just continue to stand and agree with them and believe with them, Father God. We just thank you for your goodness and grace upon our pastors tonight. All who are in Oklahoma City, bless them. Father, we'll give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise for all you do right here. In Jesus' name, we pray it and we believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that, praise God. Shake somebody's hand and you can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you appreciate all those who led us in worship? Didn't they? It's the Lord through them. They are anointed folk, and we appreciate the anointing that's upon them and the passion with which they lead us into worship in the presence of God. Thank God for them. Give them another big hand. Don't you appreciate them? All right, tonight you have your Bible, you have your word, then turn to the book of Micah, in Micah chapter 6, in Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6. Man, if you're in the Psalms, then just keep going toward Revelation. If you're in Jeremiah and Isaiah, all that, just keep going toward Revelation, keep turning toward Revelation. You're in Ezekiel, keep turning toward Revelation. Slow down when you get to the book of Amos and Obadiah. And Jonah, and right after you get to Jonah, you're going to hit Micah, okay? And we're going to speak, for our main text will be from Micah chapter 6. Micah was one of the 12 minor prophets. He's the sixth of the 12 minor prophets. And tonight's sermon is entitled, A Message from Micah. Help me with my title, A Message from Micah. Yeah, but we don't speak... really in Christendom, throughout Christendom, you don't hear too many messages that come from the book of Micah. But this is how the Lord directed us for tonight and his plan for us tonight. And so we're grateful. How many know his word has got power? His word is living. Amen. And so a message from Micah. Before I share the word with you, I heard a funny story, so I thought I'd pass it along. It's about a pastor who was trying to liven up his Sunday night service. And so the pastor felt like there should be more examples, illustrations for the Sunday evening service, trying to get the crowd more involved, you know. And so the pastor showed up to service, and he had four jars with lids on them, and he had four worms, four earthworms. And so the pastor told the congregation, I'm going to give you an example, a demonstration tonight, illustration. I want you to learn something from these earthworms. And in the first jar, the pastor had poured in a can of beer into the first jar. And so he dropped the first worm into the can, into the jar filled with beer, and put the lid on it. And then he had another jar, and that jar was filled with cigarette smoke. And the pastor took the second worm, and he dropped that worm down into the jar filled with cigarette smoke and put the lid on it. He had four worms. He took the third worm, and he dropped that worm into a jar filled with chocolate, and he put the lid on that. And he took the fourth worm, and he dropped that worm into a jar that was filled with just good, rich, clean soil and put the lid on that. He went and preached his message. When he got done with his message, he went to the four jars, and the pastor announced to the congregation. He lifted the lid off of the first jar, and the pastor announced that the worm that had been dropped in the jar full of beer was dead. He opened up the second jar, and the pastor announced that the worm that had been dropped in the jar full of cigarette smoke was also dead. He went to the third jar, and the pastor announced that the worm that had been dropped into the jar filled with chocolate was also dead. And he reported that the worm that had been dropped in the jar filled with just good, rich soil, clean soil, was alive. And the pastor said, now that I've given you this illustration, what have you learned? He said to the congregation. And a little sister on the back row, a little older sister on the back row, she raised her hand. And she said, well, Pastor, what your illustration tells me that as long as I drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, I'm not going to have any worms. I mean, no, she got the wrong message. She got the wrong message the pastor was intending. So tonight, hopefully you'll get the right message that we're intending to show you tonight from the book of Micah. I want every heart to get the right message. All right, we are in Micah. We're in chapter 6, and if you'll allow me, I'm going to read the first 6 verses. You know me, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of Micah chapter 6. Hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel, he will dispute. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me. Indeed, I bought you up from the land of Egypt, ransomed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember now what Balak, the king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. And from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. Verse 6. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? I'm going to read verse 8 again. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Here in the book of Micah, God opens up, as it were, kind of a courtroom scene, and he's got a case against his people. He's upset with his people. And his people have drifted and they've fallen into sin, and God wants to remind them of all the things that he did for them to deliver them, to set them free. And he says, don't you remember? He asks the people to remember, verse 4, I bought you up from the land of Egypt. I ransomed you from the house of slavery. I set before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And he's asking them to recall, to remember his blessings, his deliverance. He says, my people, remember now, verse 5, what Balak, the king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. What's he saying? God's presenting a case against Israel, and he's saying, he's telling Israel he's unhappy with them. He's unhappy with their actions, and he's reminding them of just how very good he's been to them. And as he reminds them about his deliverance from Egypt, then he says this Balak, verse 5. Remember how Balak, the king of Moab. Well, Balak, he was a king of Moab, and Israel was passing through his land. They were passing through Moab. And as they were passing through, you know, Israel, God had blessed Israel, and you're talking about 2.5 million people. And the Moabites became afraid of Israel. They knew Israel's history. They knew how God had blessed them. They were concerned that Israel would eat their crops. When you read this story, we don't have time, but in Numbers 22 through 24, they were concerned that Israel was going to somehow gain control over them. Israel was going to use up all the resources from their land. And as the king is watching Israel pass through their land, then he calls Balaam, this prophet, and he tries to get Balaam to curse Israel. And so Balaam reports, I can't curse what God himself has blessed. It's just like how he's blessed you in the body of Christ. Somebody tries to curse you or harm you in some way, they can't curse what God has already blessed. God's already blessed you. You don't have to worry about any curse coming against you, anybody trying to do something evil against you. Thank God there is a hedge of protection around you. The blood of Jesus has already got you hemmed in. Amen. I said God's already got you locked up under protection. His protection is above you. His protection is below you. His protection's all around. You don't have to worry about them people down there on the job. God's got your back. He's got your front. God's got your future. He's got your tomorrow morning. God's got it all. And they can't nobody curse what God has already blessed. And God has already said, you are blessed. And if you'll just say what God has said, you'll walk in it. I said, if you'll just say what your father has already said, you'll walk in it. You'll walk in the blessing. And so Balak, he tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, but he said, I can't curse him. He said that God's already blessed him, and I can't curse him. Ain't a thing I can do. I can't do nothing negative to the people of God. They're a blessed people. In other words, he could have said it this way. They blessed going out, and they blessed coming in again. Yes, amen. That sounds like you, don't it? Yes. He was saying they're the head. They're not the tail. He was saying the hand of God is on them. The blessing of the Lord is with them. And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. And God was reminding Israel, don't you remember that? He was saying essentially, don't you remember the truth and the power and what he was saying? I had blessed you so much that when people tried to curse you, they couldn't curse what I had already blessed. I said, amen. Amen. And so then you get down here to verse 8, and God gives some specific and clear instructions to his people. And it says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Listen, three areas right there. You could say it this way. He's telling them to do justice or to be fair. To be fair, you could say it that way. He's telling them to love kindness in verse 8. You could say be kind. Love kindness, be kind. Be fair, be kind, and walk humbly with your God. Be humble. So those three things are what we're going to highlight tonight. This is what the direction the Lord gave me. Highlight these three things. Be fair, be kind, and be humble. And these things, being fair, being kind, being humble, these things greatly please our Father. Amen. I said I ought to have a bigger amen than that. I said, if you're looking for a way tonight, you just say, Father, I just want to please you. Just want to be pleasing in your presence. He said those three things. See, be fair, and then be kind, and then be humble. I said, amen. Now, when we talk about being fair, that has to do with our actions toward other people. God saying, be fair. Be fair with people. Be fair with folk. Be fair with folk who are on your job. Be fair with people. And listen, if you haven't been fair, then get behind a closed door and apologize to somebody. Ooh, I can't get an amen like that. I said, if you haven't been fair, you've been kind of ugly. You know it. Then listen, just ask somebody, can I see you privately, and just go apologize. Woo. God can do a whole lot with a man or a woman who knows how to apologize when they're wrong. Yeah. And see, if you have, the Bible said, be fair, do justice, be fair. And that means you got to treat you. That is our actions toward other people. How are we treating other people? When somebody parks in the spot that you wanted, how are you treating other people? When somebody cuts you off tomorrow morning in rush hour traffic, oh Lord, how are you treating other people? It is our actions toward other people. Do justice. It means be fair. Be fair now. Be fair to people. We ought to be fair to our friends. I said, amen. I said, if there's something between you and one of your friends and you know you have the power to fix that thing, look, go on. If you made a mistake, go and apologize to your friend. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. I said, there are too many friends who have lost. They've lost contact. They've lost, a fellowship with each other, all because somebody won't apologize. But the Bible said, be fair. We ought to be fair in our families. I said it pleases God when we're fair. Amen. Yeah. I said we ought to be fair. Husbands ought to be fair to wives.
Amen.
I ought to get a bigger amen than that. And see, if you know you ain't been fair to that girl, then you need to be apologizing. An apology from a husband does not diminish your position as head of the home. It will enhance your position as head of the home. I said, if you ain't been right to that girl, you need to apologize. And you shouldn't be better to people down at the church house than you are to your own spouse. Look, you preacher can't get it. I'm trying to go on to my next point. Y'all won't let me. Y'all slowing me down. Y'all dragging me through this part of the sermon. Y'all dragging me through. I'm trying to go on. Be fair. Be fair about that thing. Because God, the Lord, he's a righteous judge. And the Holy Spirit's in you. And he will check you. See, if you don't talk to her right, if you don't treat her right, God will check you on that. Now, you can sweep it under the rug if you want to. You can override him there. But the Bible said, be fair about that thing. Make it right. And sometimes to make it right, you just got to offer a good old-fashioned apology. Somebody said, I ain't apologizing for nothing. I just buy her ice cream cone. That's real sweet, but an ice cream cone ain't going to fix it. What will fix it is your apology. Then go buy the ice cream cone. You know what I'm saying. Get the ice cream after the apology. Yeah. Micah said, do justice. Be fair with people. Yeah. Wives ought to be fair to their husbands. I said, you ought to treat that man right. You ought to treat him with the respect that he deserves. And see, if you haven't treated him right, then you should apologize to him. And don't do anything that diminishes his role as the head of the home. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. If there's something between you and sweetie, go and make that right. You can't afford to get up and give your spouse the silent treatment. I'm trying to go on. I had no intention of slowing down. The silent treatment. You giving somebody the silent treatment, you need to open your mouth and apologize. I never saw in the Bible where the silent treatment. Okay, you're going to make me go to Scripture. Okay, let's go to Colossians. You're going to make me go to Scripture. Okay, all right. I hear you. No, I hear you. Let's go to Colossians. Praise God. All right, after Philippians is Colossians. And then in Colossians, we're in chapter 3 now. You made me go there. Colossians 3, starting at 8. These things please God. I said when you're fair with people, when God can see that you are treating other people right, that you are treating people fairly, ooh, that goes a long way with Father God. I mean, these things please him. And when you start pleasing him, look out. Woo! Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. You with me now? If you're with me, say amen. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, you compare slaves to... The best way to compare the part where he's talking about slaves is down there on your job. Not that you're a slave. I'm not calling about a slave. What I'm saying is it's an employer-employee relationship. Okay, so 22, Colossians 3:22, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord, listen now, from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ who you serve. And for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So it pleases God when he sees us acting fairly toward others. And so in Micah 6:8, where he said, you know, do justice, he's saying really be fair with people. It's our actions toward others. And that's really profound. And when there's something that we can otherwise make right, go and make that thing right. Be fair with people on your job. Be fair with your friends and your circle of friends around you. Be fair in your family. Yeah. God is watching. I said, be fair because God is watching. Yeah. But he didn't say just be fair. He said three things. Three things really please the Lord. Three things really please him. This message from Micah. Three things really please him. Be fair. Do justice was one. Be fair. And then love kindness. Love kindness. Now, kindness, Bible kindness, it's when we do good to other people, regardless of whether they do any good to us. That's what kindness means in the Bible. Now in the world, kindness means you be good to me, I'll be good to you. Pat me on the back, I pat you on the back. Curse me out, I curse. No, listen. Kindness is not you be good to me and I'll be good to you. Kindness means I'm going to do the right thing towards you regardless of what you do. Ooh, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, just when you arrive to work tomorrow, somebody don't speak to you right, that doesn't matter. You can still be kind. Just because somebody don't act right don't mean that you shouldn't act right. When he said do justice, he was talking about our actions toward others. When he said be kind, he's talking about our response to the actions of others against us. Because I don't know if you've learned this yet, but everybody is not going to treat you right. I wish that folk would just do right. I wish that folk would just treat you right. But how many of you learned? Everybody ain't going to treat you right. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care where you go. Everybody is not going to treat you right. And sometimes people not going to like you. Don't be losing nights of sleep. Why people don't like you. Sometimes people won't like you just because you name the name of Christ. Just because you walk the walk. You live the life. And sometimes just you living the life can put conviction on people, and they won't like you because of that. And so there's no way to get everybody to like you. You might as well stop that. The Bible said, beware when all men speak well of you. Somebody just smiling in your face, right? So the thing is, do justice, love kindness. The kindness means you're going to do the right thing irregardless of what somebody does to you. Woo, that's big. Kindness is our response toward the actions of others against us. And when somebody doesn't do you right, when somebody doesn't treat you right, when somebody doesn't say the right thing to you, that does not give you the right to go out somewhere and have a fit of carnality. It doesn't give you the right to lose your temper and lose your cool and lose your, you know, and you lose all, I'm going to get him a piece of mind. Oh, wait, oh, no, you didn't. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you, I'm going to show you, oh, no, I'm going to get you, I'm going to show. No, kindness says, I'm going to treat you right. You acted ugly toward me, but I'm going to treat you right anyway. When the Bible talks about kindness, see, it means this. Listen to me now. Listen. Never, ever, don't ever, don't ever do, don't ever, don't you ever take your own revenge. Now, somebody did you dirty. They did you wrong. I'm not justifying that. I'm just saying God's got the answer for you. And the answer is kindness. The Bible said it'll heap hot coals on their head. You know why? You know why? Because God himself has got your back. You can be kind. I said, you can be kind. I said, amen. I've told the story so often when I had a job, I was working for Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters. I've told the story so often that this gentleman there, he didn't like me. He just didn't like me. He knew I was going to school at Rhema, and I'd gotten promoted, and for whatever reason, man, it seemed like everybody liked me. This dude did not like me. And everybody told me high and small, you know he don't like you. One of my bosses pulled me aside and said, now, you know, be careful around him. You know he don't like you. He's always talking negative about you. Every day he got something negative to say about you. You know he don't like you. I was tempted to say, that old no good, that sorry, no, song. No, I went and prayed about it. You know, the Lord told me, you be kind. You treat him right. Pray for him. Pray for him every night. Put him on your nightly prayer list. I went home every night, prayed that God would bless that brother. Prayed the Lord would bless him and give me favor. And I just said, Lord, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for keeping me out of harm's way. Got called up to the vice president's office one day up in the big tower. Got called all the way up there. Vice president told me, well, so-and-so, talking about this person. He called me, said, you messed up. I remember one time, oh, man, I messed up pretty bad. I was new supervisor, and they told me, you know, they said, I was evening supervisor. And they said, you know, now, after 5 o'clock, we lock off all the elevators. And one of your jobs as the evening supervisor, I was supervising reservation center. But they said, one of your other responsibilities now, you control who goes up to the corporate offices. The corporate offices are closed. There's no security up there. So essentially, you cannot let anybody up there who is not authorized. And the only people who can get in here after 5 o'clock and go up to those corporate offices is a corporate officer. And they said, you have to follow. Don't get that wrong. Guard this key, you know. And so I'm trying to be I'm a new supervisor, just still wet behind the ears and trying to do everything right. One time, the president of the company walked in. I didn't know who it was. And it's a car rental company. I'm managing the 800 number. And the president of the company walked in and he said, I'm on the phone with a customer. And he said, I need to get upstairs. And I put my hand over the phone and said, yes, sir, I'll be right with you, sir. I just have to check on a few things, take care of this customer, and I'll be right with you. He said, okay. And so I don't know, somehow or another, the customer needed more help than I was talking back and forth, trying to help the customer. And after another minute or two, he said, hey, I need to get upstairs. And I said, yes, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm almost done with this customer. As soon as I get done with this customer, I will help you. I'm so sorry. And he said, okay. And about another minute passed, and the keys were up on, we had this big computer. The keys was up on top of the computer, and so he just reached up there and grabbed the key. And I didn't know who he was. You know, that made me mad. He just grabbed the key like that. I didn't know who he was. And so I said, ma'am, hold on one second. I put my phone, you know, I put her on hold. And I said, sir, give me that key back. I said, you give me that key right now. I said, I told you I was helping a customer. I told you I'd be right with you. And I stood up from that desk. I said, you give me that key and you give it to me now. And he put the key back up there and he walked out mad, boy. Woo, he was mad. He flew out of there mad. I was like, good, gone somewhere. Bye. Don't let the door hit you. I thought, man, I did a good job. Hallelujah. The other supervisor who had been there for a long time, her name was April, she burst in the door. And she said, Bill, what happened in here? And I said, what you mean? That guy grabbed the key and I made him give the key back. She said, that's Mr. Lobeck. He is the CEO of the corporation. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I didn't know. Oh, Lord. She said, I tried to catch him, but he was mad. She said, he flew out saying, leave me alone. And he flew out of here mad. She said, Bill, you can't do that to the CEO. I said, I didn't know. I didn't know that was him. I didn't know. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Somehow word got to this other person who didn't like me, and then he called my boss at home. Guess what Bill did? He kept the CEO out. He kicked the CEO out. Oh, Lord. I had to go up to the corporate offices the next day. Boy, the senior vice president, she was kind as she could be. She said, I heard you had some problems last night. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, well, but the only thing we didn't do when we gave you orientation is we didn't introduce you to or give you any pictures of any of the corporate officers. And she said he was mad. Now, she said when he called me, he was really, really angry. But I explained to him, we didn't tell him who you were. And she said, he's still mad. She said, so just learn his face very quickly, and if he comes in, let him up. I said, no problem. And she said, by the way, there's a guy named, and she gave me his name, and she said, this guy has been a corporate officer, and he's been terminated. And we think he might try to get up here. And so his name started with Tim. And so she said, don't let him up here no matter what happens. And I said, okay. She said, going back to work. I said, okay. And I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't lose my job. I thought my job was gone. Ooh, man. What are you talking about? Kindness. Okay, let me hear what the story. So then, in the next few nights, someone came in, and I'm on the phone again, supervisor helping a customer, and he says, I need to get upstairs. And I put my phone on mute, right? I said, yes, sir. And I thought I knew the name that my boss had told me, the person who had been fired, who wasn't to get up there, and his name started with Tim. And then I said, just sign this book for me, sir. And as he signed the book, I saw the name Tim. And then as he wrote his last name, I confused that with the last, he wasn't the person who had been fired. He was a legitimate corporate officer who had not been fired. But when I saw him write the name Tim, you know, the music went off in my mind. Dan, da, da, that's him, you gotta stop him. So I said, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to let you get upstairs. And he said, what? I said, I'm not going to be able to let you get upstairs. And he said, why not? And I said, I can't explain that to you now, but I can only tell you I'm not going to let you up. And he stormed out mad. April stormed back in. She said, what happened? And I said, that's the man who they told me not to let up. I did good this time, boy. I got it right this time, boy. I got that thing right. So she looked, she said, oh, good. Then she looked at the signature and she said, That is Tim so-and-so, not Tim such-and-such. That's the wrong Tim.
I said, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know who found out about it, called my boss again. Oh, man, I wound up going back up to corporate offices. She said, what is going on with you and these people? I said, I am so sorry. But kindness, so this man, he every time something like that happened, of course, that was bad enough, you know, but the Lord spared me, gave me favor. I didn't lose my job over that. But this person was just going on and on. I can't believe he did that. He didn't let the CEO up. Then he didn't let Tim so-and-so up there. What is he doing? But I just kept him on my prayer list, and I just kept on praying. And God kept giving me favor. And it wasn't long I learned all those corporate offices. That last person, I'm telling you, I didn't let him up. He later hired me for a corporate management position, and I was manager of sales at that corporation, and he's the one who hired me later. 2 years after that. Yeah. I said, God can turn your situation around. If you'll turn it over to him, he can turn it around. For some people, your problem is you're not turning it over to him so that he'll turn it around. But if you turn it over to him, and if you'll, through faith and patience, inherit the promise, he can turn it around for you. I said, amen. And then when I left that company, man, they didn't want me to go. They gave me stock options before I left there. When I left there to come back to Raymond, do my second year, they gave me stock options. They didn't want me to go. Yeah. But I had to treat that person kindly. The day came when they came in and said, so-and-so, that man who didn't like you, he got fired. And they said, aren't you glad? We know you're glad. And I said, no, I'm not glad. I feel sorry for him. See, somebody fighting with you, they fight in a losing battle. Because the victory's already won for you. And they don't know it. They messing around with you thinking, you know, that you are their enemy. They messing with you. Really, they fighting with God. I said, God himself will fight your battle. I said, if you'll turn it over to the Lord himself will fight that battle. But we're short on time. You know, and so I learned, you know, you got to be kind. I prayed for that man every single night. And it didn't do me any good. I wasn't happy when they told me he was fired. I felt sorry for him. But the Lord always, he told me this, remember, I'll always fight your battle if you turn it over to me. Amen. If you'll always walk in love and show kindness to others in spite of what they do to you. Amen. People do some horrible things. And people can hurt you in ways, and I'm not justifying how somebody hurts you. I'm not minimizing the hurt you've been through, but I am telling you how to get out of it. I'm telling you how to get healed from it. I'm telling you how to get blessed out of it. And it is showing kindness when you'll be good to someone in spite of how they've been to you. Things hurt in life. 3 years ago, I went through a divorce. It hurt. It hurt. You know, the Lord told me, you show kindness now. You walk in kindness. Don't you let a root of bitterness come in. You show compassion. You show kindness in the midst of your hurt. And the Lord healed my hurting heart. Yeah. I said, he healed my hurting heart. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And the thing is, he told me, you show kindness. You walk in kindness. You walk in love. Joseph knew what it was like. His brothers hurt him so bad. They did him so dirty. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, what you meant as evil, God turned around for my good. He said, I'm not about to show a harshness to you. I'm not about to take my own revenge. I'm not about to show you evil. I'm going to show you goodness, brothers. I'm going to show you kindness. Amen. He had learned that road to blessing. It is our response to what others do to us. And finally, and very quickly, walk humbly with your God. That is our response to God. Do justice. That's how we act toward others. Love kindness. That's how we respond to the actions of others against us. Walk humbly with your God. Now that's how we walk with and how we act toward our Father God. Yeah. He said, walk humbly. Walk humbly. Moses was a man who was so humble. You read Numbers 12, verse 3. It says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Read further down in Numbers 12, and you see that so many people came against him and affected him. But later in Numbers 27, the Bible says that Moses became disqualified from going into the promised land. And God said, the reason I disqualified you is when you were in front of the people and I told you, you struck the rock and you said, must we bring water out of this rock for you? And God said, you did not give me the glory. You took that glory yourself, Moses. And he said, you disqualified yourself from going into the promised land. Walk humbly with your God. Humility starts with honesty. And honesty always begins with repentance, if there's anything to repent of. If there's nothing to repent of, hey, keep stepping, keep loving God, keep serving him. But when the Holy Spirit shows you something, the slightest thing, then go ahead and confess that thing. Get rid of that thing and let God help you. He said, do justice. He said, love kindness. He said, walk humbly with your God. There's so many places we could go. 1 Peter 5, 4 through 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Over and over again, the Bible commands you and I to walk in the power of humility. Philippians 2, you could go all over with scriptures and admonitions on humility. I will say this. It is so much better when we humble ourselves, because ultimately we are his children. And if we don't humble ourselves, then ultimately our Father will humble us. I'm not saying he'll put sickness and disease on. That's not what I don't twist and misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm saying God knows how to humble us in the right way. But it's much better when we learn how to humble ourselves. And so when we walk humbly with our God, that's our response to him. And that means, hey, let's give God all the glory. God's done something for you. He's done something in you or for you. Give him all the glory for what he's done. We're out of time for tonight. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for every heart that's here, every heart that's listening. And Father, thank you for your good Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for this audience that is before us now, and those who are listening live through some other venue, and those who will listen through some recorded measure. Father God, may your Spirit move upon every heart. And where things are right with you, and where people are walking in justice toward others, and walking uprightly before others, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly before your God. Father, I thank you for continuing to bless them, because we know they'll reap what they've sown in such a great way, and you'll be pleased to bless them according to 1 Peter 2:19 through 21. But Father, in the case of those who, for example, may not be walking with you right now, maybe they have been saved, maybe someone listening to me has been saved, but they're not walking in fellowship with you right now, and they know it. Father, I pray for that person that you'll get a hold of their heart, that you'll speak to their heart, and that they'll humble themselves before you tonight. For the person who doesn't know you, who's never asked you to come into their heart, I pray for that person that you'll, Father God, that you'll speak to their heart. The Bible says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Father God, I thank you for helping every person here. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You don't know what it means to be totally free from your sins and to know that you're going to heaven, that heaven is your eternity. Ushers, help me. Every other head is bowed. Usher, stand up and help me. Every other head is bowed. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you died tonight and you don't know what would happen to you, let me see your hand. Say, brother, pray for me. I want you to pray for him. Anybody here like that? You'd never receive Jesus. Anybody? And then secondly, if you're here tonight and you know what it's like, you actually have received Christ. You've received Christ, but you know you're not walking in fellowship with him. And you know you're out of fellowship with God. Let me see your hand. Man, the Lord wants to help you tonight. Now you can sit there if you want to, and you can say, you can act like everything's all right. But let me tell you this, if you'll walk humbly before God, oh, he wants to bless you. Where are you at in this place tonight? You know you're not right with God. You know you're not living right with God. You know you're not in right fellowship with God, but you want to make it right tonight. Where you at? Boy, God wants to help you if you'll let him. If you'll let him help you, man, God wants to shower you with his goodness. But you have a choice to make. Let my prayer team come on down. Come on down. God will help you if you'll let him. But that takes humility to do that. And boy, the enemy, sometimes he wants us to just sit there in pride. And the Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself. I'm going to ask one more time now, one more time. You need to get right with the Lord, make things right with Christ, or you need to get born again. You've never been born again. Or you want to be filled with his Spirit even. Let me see your hand in this place. Anybody in here? All right. Father, then we've asked as you told me to do. We've asked and follow your admonition. So now we leave it in your hands with those individuals, and we'll give you all of the glory for continuing to help your people. Thank you, Father God, for helping people in this place to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being such an attentive audience tonight. What a joy to speak to you and share the word. And those 3 points that I gave you tonight that are from Micah, I encourage you, some part of what you're going through, if you'll apply the lesson in those 3 points, you'll find your way to victory. All right. Well, if you need something else tonight, then come on down to these wonderful anointed ladies. They're prayed up and ready to pray with you. And these handsome anointed gentlemen are ready to play with you as well. So if you're a guy, come to the guys. If you're a girl, come to the girls. And then you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. All right. So stand up on your feet. Anybody here who's a first-time guest, I know we had lots of first-time guests. Our connection team members are coming to you, and they're going to give you the gift Pastor Marvin was talking to you about earlier. We have a great gift for you just for coming tonight. Okay, congregation, let's show our love one more time for all these people. Praise God. Hey, Rebecca. Praise God. Give them one more big hand clap. So they're going to take you to a place, give you that gift, and then let you go. They're not going to keep you very long. So go ahead with them now. We're going to give you just a minute to get there so that the congregation doesn't slow you down from getting to that place and getting that gift, okay? We're so glad that you came. And you come back here on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Pastor Hagin will be ministering, and you'll be blessed. So again, we thank you for being here. All right, to the rest of you, then do justice, and remember, love kindness. Walk humbly with God this week, and you're going to walk in victory all week long. All right, you are dismissed, and God bless you.